quarterback last year.
I'm trying to think who the quarterbacks were.
Oh, this one's really, really relevant. He's relevant now. He was Mr. Irrelevant last year.
Oh, Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy had the highest score last year.
Really?
Other notables that have scored highly on this. Justin Fields, Joe Burrow, Drew Brees, Josh Allen.
Now, see, you would have people try to tell you, not knowing that Justin Fields isn't that way. I mean, that was one of the knocks on Justin Fields, which is a narrative that people wanted to use. And it was a narrative that people get angry with because he's an African-American quarterback. I mean, he graduated from Ohio State.
Right.
Even though that's a really poor educational school. Sorry, Susie and Ted.
I was going to say, what is you said that for your sister-in-law, didn't you?
Yes.
Wow. And
boom.
I was going to say, and there is the...
Nana will be...
Yeah, the text message.
Not nice.
Nana will use emoji she's not supposed to be using today. So, yes,
that's not nice.
But no, it's to me, this release was obviously... It's really good for the Bryce Young camp.
Yes.
Because now they're putting him in the same category as, well, you got to look at him. I mean, look at these guys, Josh Allen, Drew Brees, Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, and, you know, the phenom of 2022 being Brock Purdy. I mean, he's going to be as good. He's guaranteed. He's going to be as good as these other guys.
And he's no, you know, and that's the thing. If you want to compare him to Brock Purdy, he's no smaller and no, I mean, he probably doesn't weigh as much as Brock Purdy does, but,
right.
You know, it's a really weird thing when you look at this, and here's the quarterback that screwed it all up, because he played for Cliff Kingsbury, and he played at Texas Tech, and he made more mistakes than he made good plays.
Yes.
But when the good plays happened, you went, wow. And it's just like, and everybody saw him, and then you listen to him and he sounds like Grover or whichever.
Which one? Kyler Murray?
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Oh, okay.
And people are like, I just don't know. And Andy Reid's just sitting at his house going, oh my gosh, yes. Just keep saying that. Yep.
I don't know.
Nope.
I don't know.
Nope. And then you get there to number, and
I'll take it.
I remember the day.
I'll take
Kansas City jumps up and everybody's going, well, who are they jumping up to get? Patrick Mahomes. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's one of the worst decisions I've ever seen in my life. He knew what his brain, how
right.
his
he
brain
knew what
looked
he saw.
At,
right.
And he knew that all he wanted was more.
Right.
And Cliff Kingsbury has no more right to be coaching than you and I do.
Is he still in Bangkok?
I don't know.
Oh.
And don't ever say that about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's 5'10" and can throw from one end zone to the other end zone. He just needs
I'm not a Kyler Murray fan.
I know. He just needs to be protected.
He needs somebody to help him focus. He is, ooh, raccoon. He is, oh, I should play. I mean, it's, yeah, I know. And I'm going to be proven wrong
if he played for Andy Reid,
right.
he would be the same
player.
No, and here's the, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great topic for today.
What's that?
Bryce Young. Because everybody, here's the really funny thing, and it's the way they do this, and the reason that they do all what they do, and ESPN's really good at it. It's all fake news, and it's all everything that they do is has a purpose as a group. That you know these you know what's the guy that has the phone that everybody that he breaks all the stories. I mean, it's just they needed somebody to break all the stories. They feed him all the stories. These NFL teams aren't calling him specific. The Woj Watch or whatever, whoever he is, it's not Woj because that's basketball.
Right,
but.
But you're the one that Aaron Rodgers said lose my number.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
they have narratives, and then they want to change the narratives. The narrative before the draft was this was Bryce Young and everybody else,
okay,
because of what he does, and it's based that particular thing when it came out was based solely on someone who does this for a living scouting and says. He knows he gets the plays. He can ad lib. He knows how to change stuff. You're never going to overwhelm him with information. He throws a perfect ball. He doesn't miss. He doesn't miss receivers. Yes, he's not as big as some people are. He maneuvers. He never takes hits. all those things. Now, he's going to take hits in the NFL. I get that. On the other hand, you had C.J. Stroud, who everybody just thought, you know what? It's the same as all these Ohio State quarterbacks.
Right.
Justin Fields, a little bit different because Justin Fields is a lot better runner. But they have all these wide receivers. I mean, by God, and I'm sorry, Iowa Hawkeye fans, they're playing against Iowa Hawkeye defensive backs and Northwestern defensive backs. They're wide open all over the field. You and I can throw them the ball. And they're like, so C.J. Stroud's no good. And then you see C.J. Stroud against Georgia, and he was unbelievable.
Right.
Under pressure, throwing on the run, doing all those things. Not taking off running, just running to get a pass to somebody else.
Right, making good decisions.
And they're like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
Well, once again, then when you get to this point right now, and it was C.J. Stroud and it was Bryce Young. Now the thought process on C.J. Stroud is they come, even though they saw all that, they come back and goes, well, he had a lot of good wide receivers. So does Bryce Young. They all do. If you listen, so here's the person that I listened to, and he's had a rough time. Sean Salisbury knows how to play quarterback. He was a really good quarterback in college. He was a decent quarterback in the NFL. He said, I'm looking at both of them. Bryce Young never makes a mistake. He never makes a mistake throwing the football. If his guys aren't open, he doesn't just throw it into the ground like Tom Brady does, you know, just throw it down. He systematically still makes them think he's going somewhere just to see if he gets one more shot at hitting a pass. Now, is there an above average chance that he's going to get hurt in the NFL? Tua is small, and Bryce Young is smaller and not as big.
I know. Here it is when you see Bryce Young, Alabama, former Heisman Trophy winner, incredible numbers, over 8,000 yards passing, 79 touchdown passes, only 12 interceptions. If 5'10", 204 was just a few inches taller, he'd be a shoe-in for the top pick.
And that's the thing.
And that's why that story came out to say, well, look, he's smart.
Right. That's the thing that I don't understand, though. And I'm a 57-year-old male, okay, that's had prostate cancer.
Yes.
An inch and a half isn't that big of a deal. I mean, seriously, the difference between 6'2 and 5'9 and a half is 3 inches. That it's not even your index finger. Come on.
Yeah, it does. An inch and a half does make a difference in the role of a quarterback to see over the line, the perspective, which no,
take a guy who can process four different plays and four different receivers and being able to throw the ball. If I had the number one pick, I would take Bryce Young.
Okay.
He's by far the best quarterback. C.J. Stroud, you're getting C.J. Stroud's never going to be Joe Burrow. C.J. Stroud's never going to be Justin Herbert. Neither is Bryce Young.
They've got Anthony Richardson in here from Florida.
Anthony Richardson is
They call him an athletic freak. I like that.
The curveball. He is
6'4", 244 quarterback.
He's Lamar Jackson. Not as fast.
He sounds
but
more like Ben Roethlisberger is what he sounds like.
Didn't play for a great coaching staff at Florida. I don't think they taught him much. Once again, Florida is kind of that same. They have all these athletes, and they get open, and you just have to be able to throw them the ball down the field.
You have your fans are texting me. I'm with Gary on this. Whatever.
But if I'm
Listen, How about Will Levis, Kentucky?
I love him.
Okay.
And I think he's – who do I think he is? I think he is
– 6'4", 229.
I think he's Drew Brees, but bigger. Cannon of an arm.
Okay.
He played – and this is what kills me. Because they'll say, well, you know, he's an SEC quarterback. He played at Kentucky. It's a basketball school.
Mm-hmm.
They win 7 games a year, and every game they won was because he did something spectacular. I think he's a really good quarterback. He's just not going to get drafted before any of those other guys because there's no good film on him.
They have him as number 4, but he still goes day 1.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's going in the first round. Right. Somebody's trading up to get him. The best quarterback out of this group, if he got to – here's the scary part. I'll give you this one. If Andy Reid said, you know what, Patrick Mahomes said something bad about me, and I'm going to trade Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to take Anthony Richardson, I'm going to have Anthony Richardson here for 2 years, and let me show you. Anthony Richardson is Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
Andy Reid could do that and pull that out of him to do the same type of thing.
If he goes somewhere that doesn't have an offensive-minded system and an offensive-minded coach.
Does he need Kelce with him, or does he need a type Kelce person?
I think he would be better off with a Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle.
Okay. But see, that's what I'm saying. These guys are good, but there's key things. You know, Brady with Gronk.
Right.
I mean, Kelce with Mahomes. There's things that you have to have.
You have to have a crutch. I totally understand.
You have to have an outlet valve that you can rely on.
That you trust.
That knows you.
I would take a running game and a good wide receiver core.
Well, every NFL team would.
Exactly. And that's the problem with drafting these guys, and they go to not very good teams.
Okay, here's the one, and it's not to keep going down this hole. So we got Will Levis as number four, what they're saying. Day two prospects, Tanner McKee, Stanford, Hendon Hooker, Tennessee.
Okay, stop right there. Hendon Hooker might be in the top two if he didn't hurt his knee. That's how good of a flicker of a ball he is.
Right, and that's funny you would say that because tore his ACL near the end of the last season and is already 25 years old.
Yeah.
Those two facts work against him as draft stock prior to the injury. He led one of the top offenses in football.
If somebody is going to jump out of the second round and jump up to the bottom of the first round and pick him, I can almost guarantee you.
All right. So then we get to prospects on day three. Aiden O'Connell from Purdue. I know. I know.
I mean, you just don't know what he can. He's got one thing going for him. He played in a pro style offense, so he already knows how to run an offense.
Right.
He didn't play for Iowa, and he didn't play for Iowa State. We have two teams in this state that make it very difficult if you're a quarterback and you want to get to the NFL. Right. Even though Iowa's had quarterbacks go to the NFL, that was without Brian Ferentz being there. With Brian Ferentz there, they do not have a quarterback system that's going to work.
Right.
And that's the crazy thing to me, that Cade McNamara came to the University of Iowa knowing that he was still going to be there. That would not have been where I would have gone. You're going from John Harbaugh to Brian Ferentz. Man.
But you got to believe that he knows he's going to Kirk Ferentz also. And I don't, careful, these are on. But if he's willing to do it, he sees something. Something different is going to happen before we see.
Here's the number one thing that he saw. I'm Cade McNamara. I'm a really good quarterback, and I have no shot at playing quarterback at Michigan because those two guys that are there, the one that started last year and is going to start again, and the guy behind him are both better than I am. I got to go somewhere.
Right.
And he didn't want to go somewhere where he didn't know people.
Right.
Because he knows how to throw against all these guys, so he stayed. It's just not where, I mean, Cade McNamara is, I mean, he played at Michigan. So he's used to turn around and hand the ball off a few times.
We have a lot of time to speculate. We've got spring games coming up. We've got a lot of different things that's why we love what we do, because we are talking about a fall sport and it is April.
It is. And I'll stick with that. And I also do not think that you could go wrong taking CJ Stroud. You're just going to have to work with him. Right. You don't have to do anything for that. That's the part everybody's missing. You don't have to do anything with Bryce Young except for hope that maybe he gets bigger. That's your hope. But if he doesn't,
I was going to say,
it doesn't.
I don't see a real growth spurt at this age.
Once again,
I know.
An inch here, an inch there. I'm more worried about the weight. I mean, I'd like to see him at 218. He's never getting there. The reason he didn't weigh the other time was when he went to the combine was because he drank water for 24 hours straight.
Right.
So he could weigh 5 extra pounds and get over 200 pounds.
Right, exactly. Because if he would have come in at 196,
there would have been not a chance. No. And you'd have had to fight the narrative all the way. So you took that part of the narrative out. If you're just talking pure football passer who can lead you to a Super Bowl, that's the guy.
The third day one that the oldest dude there is Stetson Bennett from Georgia. Yeah.
Don't forget our Hunter, or not Hunter, who's our guy from TCU? He's going to get drafted.
Not on their list, but I know what you're saying.
He's going to get drafted. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, 101.3 FM, 1700 Champaign.
Here's a look at
Station.
Yikes.
Woo. Ah, happy hour sports with Steen and Scott. We welcome you back in. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. You're listening to us on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check Scott and I out on Twitter. He is at ScottBrower_13. I'm at Steen on Sports. You also can check us out at 1700 The Champ. And then we share at happyhour_SS. We follow that one even more than we do our own. So
that's I do that, yeah.
You can always get it, you know, you can slap back at us there.
Masters update for you with Sam Bennett, the amateur.
What did he get to?
He's on hole 17. He is tied for six at -4.
I like it. So he dropped a shot. He was at right. 5. So well, he's only one. That's okay. That's all right. He's doing good.
Right
he's
next to Scottie Scheffler.
I like that. Scottie Scheffler's going to win the Masters. I mean, if he's up near the top, people just start going, yeah, I can't beat Scottie Scheffler anymore. This segment is brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. 3 locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. DMOS Urgent Injury Clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at DMOS.com. You can also go to DMOS, Engineered Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in central Iowa. It's in 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway in Ankeny, Iowa. It's over in the really cool part of town there in Ankeny. What's that little?
Prairie Trail.
Prairie Trail.
Question for you.
Gotcha.
Colin Morikawa.
Yes.
Is he a cheater?
I don't know. Because I
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do.
Have you seen the footage?
No, I have not. I've heard it.
I
would say
it.
Absolutely not, but then I'm intrigued.
Okay, so golf. Okay. You have your ball on the green. You put a marker directly behind it. It's supposed to be within a half an inch, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you pick the ball up, you clean it, you line up your shot, you can do it. So the lines, all these different things. You can clearly see the footage. He moves the ball forward 2.5 inches. And I know you say 2.5 inches is a lot. When it comes to a golf putt,
it is.
That is an advantage. It's on camera.
On purpose.
Yeah, he's cleaning. He's lining his ball up. And here's the deal. He moves the ball up the 2.5 inches as he lines it up and then moves the marker to the ball. You don't do that.
No.
So,
he could be disqualified. And you don't have to catch him doing it at the moment he's
right.
I think that they'll have somebody look at that. And I think they could disqualify him. That seems really weird because I do not ever remember anybody saying anything about him.
Well,
and I'm glad I didn't pick him on mine.
Yeah, I'll have to go back to who had the information, but it was on Twitter and I saw it. And it's they play it and it's like, ooh. I mean, I don't think it was, in all honesty.
Yeah, this isn't me and you at Copper Creek.
Okay, you leave my foot wedge out of this. And like I always say, we're playing winter.
If it's next to the fringe, I get relief.
The phrase is, we're playing winter rules. I get a foot wedge.
Yeah.
So, but if you see him do it, it's like he's just kind of like he moves his hand in this, and then he's so focused on the putt, he's not maliciously looking around out of the corner of his eyes going, I'm going to better myself by 2.5 inches.
Yeah, for these guys, that makes no difference.
But
it still looks bad. In golf, it is a gentleman's game.
There you go.
Somebody's going to call him on it, and somebody's going to send it in, and they're going to do something about it. I would be surprised if they do not.
As much as if you're lining up your shot and you knock the – you knock the ball off the tee, and every single one of us is guilty of doing this. If we're out golf, that's one. I mean, it's just really, yes, I know it was.
There's been times when we're trying to bend down and put the golf ball on the tee, and we fall down.
Exactly.
And then it's okay.
Right? The noises a 50-year-old man can make putting a golf ball, put a bow in that one. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why we also, when putts are, within 12, 15 feet.
Yeah,
you know what?
Good.
Just pick it up. Just we're fine.
It's going to take way too long if we keep continuing doing this.
So I will try to find that and retweet that on Happy Hour Sports so that you can see
it. Yes, I always do this with my sons. I'm like, I have two putters. I have a short putter and a longer putter. And I'm like, okay, today it's a gimme for anything that's in my putter. And they're seeing me putt with my small putter. And then I take my small putter and I throw it in the back of the golf cart and I put my big one in. And they're like, no. And I'm like, that's what you agreed to.
I'm going to make a telescopic or a telescopic putter that goes about 12 feet out. Yeah. So
perfect. All right. So
we had started talking about on the break. And I'm going to ask you yours. It's a good thing. Trey King for Iowa State basketball.
Yes.
He's coming back.
It's a huge deal. With Williams, who tore his Achilles, coming back with Taman, Trey King, still hoping to get Hassan Ward, and the other one will hit me here in just a second. I want all those young guys back combined with what they have.
The experienced young guys is what you want back.
Yes.
Okay.
That they have and experienced young guys that actually played more minutes towards the end of the season than they were doing in the middle of the season when they were winning, because the other people, it just Gabe and all those guys, it just hit a brick wall.
And Big Rob Energy's back.
Yep.
No ifs, ands, or buts. Big Rob Energy's back.
It's a big deal. And I know people don't understand Big Rob, and sometimes you just go, oh, what he does in practice, what he does in the locker room, what he does in the classroom, what he does all around, he's the glue.
And he's energy in a game.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be, not necessarily he's always the stat, but he's energy in a game.
He doesn't have to average 20 points. He just has to, he got so much better at the end of the year, and he's just going to continue to get better.
Right.
And as many fans that want to say something about Big Rob, there's not a guy in that locker room that would say that about Big
right,
Rob.
Right, right.
So that's negative. The cool thing.
Here's the other thing that I'm starting to hear, and it just makes me shake my head and roll my eyes a little bit, is we haven't even played a game nor has even worn a jersey, Omaha Blue.
Yeah.
He's going to be phenomenal. He's going to be relevant quickly.
I watched that. I was in Vegas, sitting having breakfast, having a beer, and I watched that game that he played in.
The McDonald's All-American game?
And he was okay on the offensive end because you have five of them and nobody wanted to give the ball up.
Well, it's a showcase.
The stuff he did on the defensive end was amazing.
Okay. All I'm hearing is, okay, one and done, one and done, one and done. Where is he going? Can we at least, can we enjoy the season him?
I don't think he's going to be a one and done, because I don't think offensively he's good enough to be one and done.
Oh, they're
defensively he's
NBA,
good enough.
NBA scouts, you start looking him up, they're already talking about it, that he is. It's too bad he even has to play the 1 year. I mean, that's all you're starting to hear is this. But I hope that it is. I hope the hype is what it's supposed to be, because I think that added to like what you just talked about.
Right,
the mindset, the energy, the Trey King, to have what we saw and what we liked about this year's Iowa State basketball team, to add the right things to it, to have players that got injured come back. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Again, I just don't want to get my expectations
out of whack. When I watched Iowa State, I saw a well-coached team, a very defensive team. And on a great day, a good offense. On a good day, an okay offense. There is nobody, and I guarantee you that he's been up and he's ran with those guys, and he's there. You'd have to combine guys to be what he is.
Right. I know.
I mean, he's phenomenal, and he doesn't yap. He doesn't. You know, it's just he just plays basketball. He's a really good kid, very quiet. And TJ's known him.
People are going to say, but yeah, we've seen the footage where he dunked in the game and made a gesture to the crowd. But it was his own crowd, wasn't it?
Because mm-hmm. He'd played on that team.
Yeah.
And before they split to be on a different team. I guarantee you, when you go there, you know, and people stay in the Johnny Orr Club all the way up through, they're going to want to go out and they're going to want to see him dunk.
Right, you're gonna see.
I've never seen warm-ups like that. Yeah,
want to see warm-ups.
It's crazy.
With that college men's basketball mindset, which we haven't talked a lot about. I really want to see what Fran's going to do in the offseason, what product we're going to put on the floor.
I
enjoyed Iowa basketball last year. I hope I can say that again coming up.
Yeah, and I mean, I still have people at me that Chris is coming back. Chris is coming. Chris Murray is not coming back to the University of Iowa.
If I were a wagering man, I was going to say chips would be gone. Or chips would be on gone.
What betters for? I mean, that's the part that he played a season with Keegan, and Keegan got you know, All American awards and stuff. And then now Chris did. He was All Big Ten. He was an All American. He doesn't need to stay to get. Nothing that he can do that he's going to get better than he already is.
Look what Keegan's doing in the NBA.
Right. Okay. Much better than he did, because you don't have people. There's five other people on the floor that have the same talent level that Keegan Murray has. That's what the NBA is. Right. That's not what college basketball
is. Right.
And even on those teams that have five players that have a shot at making the NBA, it wasn't anybody that was in the Final Four.
No.
I mean, they had that guy that did this, and they had that guy that did that.
I just think from a Chris Murray, Keegan Murray standpoint, there's people in the NBA going, do you like what he's doing, pointing to Keegan, going, there's the foundation and the clay to build another one, go get him.
And I don't want to pick on. I don't know what he's going to do going back to the University of Iowa that's going to make him better.
You're saying he doesn't need, you know what, he needs a little more time to mature and get bigger in his game. And his game is to the point where now he needs the next level.
And here's
the next level direction.
Here's the issue that the Iowa Hawkeyes have right now is four of the first transfer portal guys that were really, really good, mm-hmm. you know where all four of them went? Hmm. Big Ten.
Yeah.
And not at Iowa.
Right.
So those teams are reloading already. Mm-hmm. And you've lost four players. So, I think
that's why I'm saying I still have some hope and some belief that they're going to put a good product on the floor.
I don't,
and you know what? We didn't.
What's Patrick? See, that's the key. What's Patrick do? Is he playing?
Right.
Is he not playing? He wasn't the same. Even when he came back, he wasn't the same. I don't think.
Well, in all honesty, a few years back, the Murray brothers were a surprise, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, Fran was raked over the coals for giving them scholarships.
Right.
I mean, I remember the day that he did, and they were not polite stories, and there were not polite things on social media. And
so you know what? He knows what he's doing. He can.
Oh, he's going to be fine.
Catch lightning in a bottle again.
Everybody says, well, you know, you had Connor. Well, you had Jordy. And Jordy was done, but you still had that leadership from Connor. Okay, so now somebody out there, tell me, who's that guy now?
Also had Luka on the team for Pete's sake.
I'm saying that when Luka didn't take no hits for nobody.
Right, where Jordy did.
And Connor took all the hits this year.
Right,
Jordy took all the hits. Luka isn't that guy.
No.
Luka's the guy that gives you energy all day. He's big Rob energy,
but was massively
big and better.
Production. Yes.
And Big Rob would buy into that, but they don't have anybody on this team that can take the hit pressure.
Right.
Okay. All this stuff on social media, Connor just come out. You know, we don't care about social media.
Right, exactly.
Who's the guy that's going to go out and say it? Patrick's not going out and saying that. You don't want him to take on that kind of
And Jordy burden. Jordy was
thick-skinned
too. Jordy
took everything.
He was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I'll make it worse. I'll double down and make it all about me.
Exactly.
And that's what people and exactly. I remember them saying that about Jordy Bohannon. Well, he's just a fame seeker. No, he wasn't. He was the greatest teammate of all time because he said, "You guys aren't going to take it. I'm taking it all." I'll take it from the fans when we go to places. I'll say crap before we go in, and they'll all boo me, and they won't even pay attention to you guys.
Exactly.
And we're still going to win. And that's what he did. And Connor did that as well.
Right.
Or when things were going south, Connor would turn them around. And those two guys in back-to-back years, missing them.
The phrase, tongue-in-cheek, is it's the general on the floor. We've heard that before. The leader, the commander on the floor.
They don't have a general.
They don't have the commander, yeah.
And why I think Iowa State has a chance of having a good year.
Or maybe we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, well, he's not there yet. There,
okay,
no, anybody
that's what I'm
that
saying.
They,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's not there. Why I'm saying Iowa State is because I think next year they have two, Williams and Lipsy. Because Taman, by the end of the year, even though number-wise might not have said that, he was the guy in practice banging heads.
Right.
You know,
still
this is,
so cautious with the shot, though.
Yeah, but that's a team full of shooters. He'll be fine. Okay. He can shoot the ball.
All right.
He's a freshman. He wasn't expected to have to take the shots. He's going to be fine. He just needs to, and his dad would say the same. He needs to stop thinking. He doesn't think about anything else, but he was thinking about that, and he can't do that.
Update from St. Paul. We went down. We are now up. We were down 5-4. Now we're up 8-5.
Hey, Iowa Cubs. There we go. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We thank you for being in here. We got one more segment left. You're listening to us on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Scott and I will be back. We're going to play a little number game again. Be right back. 101.3.
Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Thursday. This show went really fast.
It did.
It was a ton of fun. We got one more segment left. You're listening to us on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Something's different because I'm getting it almost all the way through Ankeny now on the FM station. It used to cut out right when I crossed the Mixmaster. I don't know if it's because it's getting warmer out. I don't know what it is. But
I'm such an old school honk. I just listen to it on AM, man.
The signal is getting better, so we'll see what happens. You can always check us out on Twitter. He is at ScottBrower_13. I am at Steen on Sports. Our show that we do on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, Happy Hour Sports, is at HappyHour_SS. And, of course, we do this at 1700 The Champ on Twitter as well, as well as Facebook and 1700thechamp.com for the website. It is Masters Day. Victor Hovland still in the clubhouse with the lead. There's nobody. The closest on the course still playing is Sam Burns, and he's at 4-under, but he's on 18. Tony Finau at 3-under, and he is getting ready to go to 18. As well.
All right. So I just retweeted.
We sent it out
Colin
there.
Colin Morikawa, where the discrepancy on his marking is. It's interesting. The guy who I got this retweeted from, Riley Fitzsimmons.
Mm-hmm.
I am the only person to retweet it. So I don't know. PGA might take my house by the time I get home or something like that for retweeting it. But anyway, that's interesting.
So either he consistently does that and puts it further back and sets it and then puts it up, but sets the ball down where the mark should be, or that is a blatant penalty.
And that is true. There's probably will come out and say, no, this is the way he does it, but it looks bad. The ball is at a spot with the marker. It's in a different spot. And then the marker moves to where the ball is.
It's the move in the marker the second time that doesn't make sense.
You know
to
how
me.
Huge the PGA is
yes.
about honor and rules and all these different.
I mean, if that is true and that happens and that penalty, he signed an incorrect scorecard and he would be disqualified. So I don't know if that's what he. I never watch any of these guys. Their psychosis drives me crazy. How they have to set it down and do, I mean, but I'm thinking too. Maybe that psychosis is why they get better at golf and we don't get better at golf. So they probably have a commonality there that makes that better. Here's what you will find at the Masters, and normally every year this is what happens, is when you go down this leaderboard, it's Victor Hovland, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Cameron Young, Jason Day, Shane Lowry, Xander Schauffele, Adam Scott, Gary Woodland, Scottie Scheffler. The one that's different is Sam Bennett. He's an amateur. But all the rest of them, they've all been there. Newbies don't win the Masters very often. It just doesn't happen.
No.
It's like that first time, I think it was, it was in Tiger's first Masters win when he was so many shots up. Mm-hmm. It was one of Zach's first Easters that we went down to Lake Rathburn and with my mom and dad's family. and we were all sitting around watching it. And I'm thinking, it's so cool that I'm watching this with my son. And I mean, he just blew the field away. And you don't usually have that happen at the Masters, because right. there's, you can see, like, Tiger's done that at the British and he's done it at the US Open, but to do what he did that year, and he started out plus three, his first three holes or first five holes, he was plus three, and he ended up that first day minus seven and just ran away with the tournament. So, that's strange. I would have never, you could have thrown me 20 other names on this leaderboard of them moving a ball, and I would have went, yeah, you know, Patrick Reed. Colin Morikawa would not have been one of them. So I'm kind of curious. What's,
like I said, and,
I wonder what I wonder what the answer is going to be, because I think right. the answer is going to be he's still going to be playing golf. But I'll be curious to right. see if that's
and like it. And like when you watch the video, it's just it's
weird
to the hard fast black and white rules of golf. Yeah, but
you don't
to look
move,
at it,
you don't move your marker.
Yeah, he doesn't look out of the corner of his eye left and right and
he,
do it.
He did nothing
and giggle. But yeah, I mean,
he was staring right at the hole.
Because
he was trying to
anyway.
Set his ball down.
Anyway,
I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
All right, I'm looking at all my making sure we're checking everything off on my notes here, because there was fun things to talk about.
You got Matt's.
We could talk about it during the break that the fact that they had to halt the Iowa women's basketball ticket sales.
Yeah.
Because it's just exploding.
Right. I think they've now outsold. Carver Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing. So except for either one game or two games last year, the women always curtain off, what do you think? 3,000 seats, the upper five or six. There were two games last year that they took those away. And I don't know if that is the University of Iowa doing that, not the women's basketball saying, hey, could you please curtain up these
right.
Because
here's my deal.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm always kind of tongue in cheek and sometimes with the foil cap on or whatever. Okay. It was fast. It was a lot of people wanting these season tickets. Tickets were going to get sold out. There were people that are farther up on the ladder and donate more money and said, what do you mean there's no more tickets? So now the hierarchy is going to have to be addressed of no. I donated X amount, you're going to get me tickets.
Right.
There's going to be some rough letters that are going to get sent out, because it literally is the hottest ticket right now.
Oh, it's the hottest ticket.
And now they're going to have to go through and go, okay, well, let's see here. We got to make sure we've got tier one taken care of. Okay, then tier two. And I bet you some, what do you mean I don't get tickets? let's go through some invoices.
See, that stuff makes me smile, because they, you know, they're like, well.
Oh, I'm saying it yeah, is. That's a cool thing.
I think it is too. I think, yeah, you should have known. You should have known the day they won their first game in the NCAA tournament that this is going to be different. And it's going to be so interesting on, you know, the University of Iowa men's and women's both. Like, we were just talking about it. Their rosters are still a work in progress. Even though that right now the women's team is full, there's always going to be somebody that's going to, okay, look, I'm not going to get any playing time. This isn't for me. I'm going to hop somewhere else to hop in. And to be truly honest, the NCAA, you know, sports are brutal sometimes. It may not be their decision to do it. They're just getting pushed out the door to say, hey, we're doing this for the betterment of,
right.
I mean, everybody does it. They, you know, that's the negative side of NCAA, but hey, it is what it is.
Wow.
And you don't have these phenomenons very often. I mean,
but look at from the, because of NCAA athletes, a week from tomorrow, we've got the big five guys from Drake. Coming down to the I-Cups.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
Caitlin Clark's
Ashley Jones.
Head.
Ashley Jones is going to be there on Sunday,
absolutely.
Week from Sunday. And then June 3rd, you've got Caitlin Clark Day. The bobbleheads are sold out.
Randy, just
you're not getting a bobblehead.
Order two more.
You're not getting a bobblehead. I guarantee you're not getting a bobblehead.
No,
At least I wore Cubs apparel yesterday, for Pete's sake. I'm trying to feed into the man, so come on. But anyway, it's I hope that there is a drone photo of people standing in line.
I love it.
To get in so they can get
in.
Because
I love it.
The line for autographs, because they know that she's going to be there. It's going to be. Or do you think you think it's going to die down by then?
No.
By June 3rd?
No.
You sure?
No.
Okay.
Because now you're getting ready. Because now they're getting ready for summer practice. So
yeah.
it's just gonna boil right back up.
And speaking of college football or college sports, what is it? April 22nd is the spring football games.
I would assume. Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's Iowa State, and I thought it was the same day for Iowa. I mean, we've got. You know, you're hearing a lot about Hunter Decker right now. I know that out of Ames.
Yeah, with a new, and it was really funny what Hunter Decker said today. My new offensive coordinator is my offensive coordinator, but he's also my I can't remember the word that he used, but not my teacher, but he's it's personal. So it's not
mentor.
Mentor, yeah, he's more of a mentor doing
a Mr. Miyagi kind of a thing.
And we're doing this stuff, but this is the reason we're doing it and getting him through instead of just hey, you didn't do that right. But it isn't hey, you didn't do that right. It's
so he's
yelling and screaming at him that he didn't do this right. So they, you know, you have to.
Wow, actually, I was pretty close with Mr. Miyagi.
I think I like the Mr. Miyagi
sensei. There you go.
I like that part. For the Iowa State football team to be better, Hunter Deckers has to be better.
Yes.
Simple as that. Four more wins last year if he makes a couple less mistakes a game. And they weren't good mistakes. They were horrific mistakes. And it's a learning process. It's not easy. It wasn't play calling. It was just not recognizing. And you can't not be able to recognize them.
There were many levels of things that just didn't feel right watching Iowa State football last year.
And one is when you have the athletic budget they have and you don't have coaches coaching certain areas. Yes, we're done.
I'm sorry.
Can you believe that?
I talked too much. Didn't get to talk about your numbers from the
book.
It's
okay. I got a whole show tomorrow. I'll be talking about that and Colin Morikawa, I'm assuming. You've been listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We appreciate you doing that. Buddy, have a good weekend.
We'll probably see you sometime.
And you're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.